We're going to be in Luke 8. We're going to do a couple passages here. I told you this morning we're going to preach on the Lord driving you versus the devil driving you. Luke 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 26 is where we'll start. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which was over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes. And when the clothes start coming off, you can figure out the demons are around. And there's a whole bunch of signs of demons. One of them is nakedness. The Bible says when he got saved and got right and Jesus cast out the demons, it said he was sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. And clothing comes off when wickedness comes. So does he abuse the body when wickedness comes. They start abusing their body, cut himself and things like that. There's a lot of things. But that's free. And I'm not preaching on that. But keep your clothes on and be modest. And that'd be a good thing for our society. It's funny, I'm in Haiti, and it's 290 degrees with 116% humidity, and they're dressed more modest than Americans in Seattle. There we go. And he went forth, let's go to verse 27. When he went into the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, that's important, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs, an obsession with the dead. And we got that a big time in Seattle. They try to look, by the way, you know people try to look dead? Mm-hmm. You know the makeup style is a zombie, pale, dead black, blue, weird lips? I mean, they're trying to look dead. Can I tell you, dead is not attractive, if you don't know that? Because it looks like you haven't had any iron in your system for 6 months, and you look like you're on an anorexic death thing, and you just walk out of a zombie video game. I know in Hollywood they say that's attractive, but to normal people, you look weird. Well, I'm giving all kinds of free commercials in this sermon. So you mowed in the tombs. And so stay away from the undead stuff, zombie vampires, all that stuff. Amen. Amen. Should be watching video games and watching movies about that stuff. Amen. Amen. All right. And verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not." Demons are not in hell yet. Jesus can send them to hell, but they're on earth. They go to hell eventually. Torment me not. He says in another passage, another demon says, torment me not before the time, before the end times. They're here. They're all over the place. They're not in hell. For the most part, some are. They've been sent there. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had been caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. That's what I wanted to focus on. Driven of the devil into the wilderness. Driven of the devil into the wilderness. This man was isolated. He was brought away from town, away from homes, and put out in the wilderness for a very, very, very long time. And he lived in the tombs and was often driven out into the wilderness. And then, boom, soon comes Jesus and sets him free, and his life is transformed. But notice that he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Not driven like get in the car, driven as in pushed. Is what the word means. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And verse 9. And it came to pass after those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." All right, tough question here. Ready? Is Jesus doing the right thing and is God pleased with him? Yes. Looks pretty clear. He says it. Let alone we know it's just Jesus, it'd be we'd know that anyway. Next verse. And immediately, how long afterward? He just pleased God, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Same thing. One, the devil drove him in the wilderness. One, the Spirit drove him in the wilderness. One was demon-possessed and under demonic oppression. The other one was the Son of God who just pleased his Father, and his Father announced it. I'm going to talk about the Lord driving you versus the devil driving you. Let's pray. Lord, help us understand what your word has to say to us. Speak to our hearts. Give us wisdom and insight. Give us knowledge. Give us truth. Give us grace. Help us to see things your way. I pray that the Holy Spirit would control and speak in an unusually powerful way to help us to see what we need. Lord, this message is a little different message to me, and was kind of hard to find exactly. This has been in my mind for weeks to exactly what you want, and I think I have what you want here, Lord. But I pray you just help it to come out exactly like you want, and whatever you have for the purpose of it, which I might not understand, I pray you would make that purpose be accomplished, and your word would not return void, but it accomplished that purpose. And may the Holy Spirit now be empowering and doing mighty works in our hearts and our minds. May we have ears to hear and help change every one of us, Lord, that we can see your way versus the devil's way. In Jesus' name, amen. Both were driven into the wilderness. And there's a lot about the wilderness in the scripture. For example, the wilderness is where Israel wandered for 40 years and such. Taking the wilderness as being away in wandering and struggles, which it usually is in the Bible. Temptations is often what it is. We see in Jesus' case. We see that God drove him in the wilderness and the devil drove him in the wilderness. Now, I would assume that God's purpose for driving somebody in the wilderness is different from Jesus' reason for driving, or from the devil's reason for driving them in the wilderness. I don't think they're the same reason. And I've been driven in the wilderness, not necessarily like you would say literally, although I go out and I walked through a forest last night while I was praying, but although I do that, it's a wilderness of trials and the wilderness of troubles and the wilderness of temptation and the wilderness of enduring hardness. And I've been driven there by God, not by Satan in my case. So he's sent out in the wilderness, and we see the Lord drives him into the wilderness. He says, go, get it, go, go. I mean, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Now the Holy Spirit says, all right, go, 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 out in the wilderness. They were near the wilderness being baptized in the River Jordan, or they're outside of town, and boom, he's shoved out in the wilderness. And he begins a 40-day fast and prayer. And just think about that. I don't think we would not do well 40 days in the wilderness. We all think we're Grizzly Adams, you know, but anyone know who Grizzly Adams is anymore? Okay. We all think we're like that. How many of you know who Grizzly Adams is? How many have no idea who Grizzly Adams is? Oh boy, I'm old. It's official. And we all think we're Mr. Survival Guy. You'd realize your iPod does not plug into trees after about 3 hours, and you would wish to be somewhere else. But 40 days, no cabin. Just in there. No food. No water, by the way. He didn't drink. He total fast for 40 days. And he gets attacked. And Satan tempts him. And he's driven out in the wilderness. Now, he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. And it was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. The same story, but back in Matthew chapter 4, look how God words it. Because it's a little different than you'd expect. Matthew 4, 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, that's the same, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, look at that. God drove him to the wilderness for the purpose that the devil would tempt him, Matthew 4, 1 tells us. Matthew 4, 1. And so we see that's the way he was driven. And the Lord drove him into the wilderness. That's strange to us. And it's hard to understand that, and hard to get that, and hard to see why that would happen. Let me get into the points, and I'll explain that a little bit to you. But first of all, we're going to start off when the Lord drives you in the wilderness, what's happening, why it's happening, how it's happening. When the Lord drives you in the wilderness, and to understand the wilderness, might be when you lost a whole bunch of friends. It might be when you changed to be a real Christian, and all of a sudden you just felt really alone, or you felt troubled, or you just seemed to be tempted for a long period of time, or you seemed to be in failure and nobody was there and understood, or when you were really hurting inside and really people seemed to just not understand or turn on you, and you just had this long period of time where you just were kind of isolated and alone and wandering and not understanding what was happening. It seemed like you're in a lot of temptation. You were in the wilderness. Maybe pushed by God there. Maybe pushed by Satan. And but there's a big difference in these two experiences. Big difference between the two endings. A too big difference in why they were there. They're all completely different. And so first of all, when the Lord drives you in the wilderness, we're just going to give some points on that. There are trials and temptations there. We just saw that. We just read those verses. Wait a minute. I thought God was going to push me in the wilderness to see his creation and relax and sit back and take a shower under the waterfall and look at the forest and the trees and ride on Bambi's dad. And as I thought, that would be fun in the wilderness. God's driving me there, and God always just leads you to ease and peace. He led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And you might have a little hard time differentiating between why you're there and who led you there. And part of the lesson tonight is to understand that. But there are trials and temptation when God leads you in the wilderness. You're not going to be able to find that an easy thing, that the devil led me in the wilderness because tempted. No, you might have been tempted when God led you in the wilderness. And the Bible says this in James chapter 1, verse 13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God tempts no man, he can't be tempted of evil. God does not tempt you. It didn't say God led him out there to tempt him. It said he was led of the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So he is tempted by the devil, but God pushes him out there and says, tempt him. Tempt him, devil. And Jesus, you're going to be tempted for a while. And so he goes out there and gets tempted by the devil. Now, the devil is not God's friend, but God, since he's the ultimate master, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Satan still has to be in submission to him. God can use Satan however he wants. You'll find stories in the Bible of that. God will use a lying spirit. God will use whatever he wants. It's the way God does things, and God uses. And so God goes, and he's going to do certain things we'll get to in a moment, but he's going to use the devil to prove, to test, to try. Let's say I said, you know, I need the most patient Sunday school teacher in the world. I've got some really hard kids here. And so I said, let's just try this one. I find the most irritating, obnoxious kid. Where is it? And I put him with them for a few hours. Why? Just to test them. I just want to see what they can handle. Special forces are famous for doing this. They want to find out if you're going to break. They want to find out before you get in battle. So they put you under intense pressure and finds out, let's see if you can handle that. And by the way, before an airplane, before you fly in that airplane, and they design that thing, they take that thing and test and put it under pressure that it's not normally going to be under. They'll turn off one engine, and they'll test it to see if the plane is structurally sound and all those things. They test things, and so God says, I'm gonna let the devil tempt you for a while, and it's led by God into the wilderness. The devil tempts him. For example, if we look at the life of Job, who tested Job? Got two answers here. Who tested Job? Both. You're both right. God said, have at him. And Satan did. See, God can do that. And God's so much smarter than Satan, he can master Satan and use Satan's very verse. Satan says, oh, yeah, watch this. God's going, oh, brother, if you know how dumb you are, I got you tricked, buddy. You're doing my work. I'm going to make him great through you. But and so God says, I'm going to let you, there's trials and temptations in the wilderness when I lead you into the wilderness. The Lord did that and allowed that. And he uses the devil to prove us, as he did with Job, to tempt us, to give us a trial. And there's a whole message I'm just had for months in my mind on that. And it's not in this message, but I remember that. Number two, in the wilderness, the Lord ministers to us. Mark chapter 1, verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. The wording to me looks like that Jesus, we see his three temptations that we talk about, turning the bread to stone, the bread to stone, that would be bad, especially if you already had the bread. Turn the stone to bread and jump out the pinnacle of the temple and such. We see those three temptations, but the way it phrased it to me, it looks like he was tempted for all 40 days. Those are just the climax of, I'll give you the whole world, and you're really hungry now. But he was being tested, it looks like to me, the way it's phrased, for 40 days. And so he goes through that. But look, at the end of that, it said the angels ministered unto him. The angels ministered unto him. And I liken so many things in the Bible, because the Bible does it to the military and to warfare. And one of the things that you find out is, for example, when you become a Marine, they don't call you a Marine before you're a Marine. But once you're one, they treat you better. And the same with the Special Forces, why they're tormenting you and acting like they hate your guts for a week to test you. If you pass, you're somebody. And the Lord ministers at the end. In other words, the Lord is not saying, I'm going to make you miserable, and tormenting you. At the end, he's going to come and minister and comfort. He says, all right, you're hurting. Let me fix you. Angels, go heal Jesus. Go take care of his body. He's tired. He's sick. He's hungry. He's weary. He's exhausted. He's been in the wilderness for 40 days. And go minister to him. Why? Because God is for us. This thing is not for our bad, but for our good. Number three, the wilderness does something great in us. Let's go to Luke 4. Three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as typical, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are somewhat similar. John is completely different. 80% of John is unique. But this story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Luke chapter 4 is this story again. And each one gives us a little bit different angle, a little bit the other one doesn't say, and a little more of the story. Luke chapter 4, and let's start at verse 13. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now, temptation's done. Wilderness is done. Now watch what happens. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He endured the temptation, and he had great power when he came out of that wilderness. He'd been with God. He had got the victory. He had made it through. And now he had the blessing of God. And you're going to see it here. Power is there. Immediately, first thing it says, first sentence after he comes out, power. He comes out. He walks in the synagogue, reads Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the next thing he says? He walks in church and says, the Spirit of God is on me. Next thing he does, verse 22. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. Look at the amazing things he's doing now. See, the wilderness took him to the next level. The wilderness made it. He had no ministry before now. He wasn't doing mighty things. He was a carpenter. But the wilderness made him great. You know, we read these prayer letters. A lot of these prayer letters, and we hear about great men of God. Can I tell you, a lot of those great men of God were formed the same way, and it wasn't pretty. The Bible college I went to, one of the things I liked about it was how brutal it was. Brutal. And brutal and no sympathy. It wasn't, I'm so sorry, you're so exhausted, you're so tired. It's, hey, I'm teaching, sit up. I don't care if you're tired, stand in the back if you have to. It was brutal. And you know what? That's good. It's a good wilderness experience. The times of falling asleep and trying to stay awake, they drove you on the weekends, they drove you during the week. It was unaccredited on purpose because they didn't want the government running the college, and so you couldn't get a government loan. So you went out and you worked your way through college, and then you worked on the weekend very, very, very hard. And they drove you. And if you missed anything, they said, tough. It was ran by a Depression kid. And a World War II veteran. He just said, you know what? If you can't handle it, you'll quit the ministry. I don't care. Honestly, if I was driving to college and it was time to go to chapel, on the way to college, I saw a car accident. Somebody was dying. I stopped, gave them first aid. Trying to get to college then, I got a phone call. My mom just died. I go dealt with it. I got late to chapel. I'm getting demerits. They weren't going to, they didn't they'd say, should have left earlier. And it made a lot of great men of God. A lot of great, it wasn't there to make you feel good. It was there to push you to do great things for God, because ministry is not for wimps. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. You're in a war, son. You're a fight. And we don't want the forming to make steel. Just make me into steel in some nice 70-degree weather. But to form steel, you got to have some fire and some heat. And you got to have that. And so Jesus has this. Now he has this great power. I'm just going to keep reading. Verse 32, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word is one has power. Verse 36, and they're all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth unclean spirits to come out of him. Chapter 5, verse 1, and it came to pass that people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. They were pushed him in the lake, so many were coming to hear him. And verse 9, it says, for he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes they had taken. Verse 11, and they had brought in the ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And so on and so forth. Power, power, power. Disciples called. Everyone's astonished. Jaw-dropping power. Why? Because the wilderness does something great in us when God leads us into the wilderness. Several passages on this. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. And verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope make it not ashamed. It says, we glory in our tribulation because it's going to give us patience and experience and hope. It gives you character and hope in the end and makes you very strong. And you don't have to turn to all these verses, but 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After you've suffered a while, you get established. You get established. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. He says, you're going to have manifold temptations, many temptations. And many people think, you know what? I must be doing something wrong. God must not be with me because the temptations just keep on coming and coming and coming. You might be being purified. You might be going through the growth time. You might not have a relenting. Because one of the things I find the hardest on me is not the big temptation. It's the non-ending temptation. It's not the trial. It's when the trials keep on coming and coming and coming. It's when you can't get your breath. When you're in the wilderness. And you go through that, and if you have the strength, and if you decide that God's led you there, and if you decide, you know what, I'm not going to quit, I'm going to make it through this, God leads you in the wilderness to make you great and to take you to greatness into the next level. If you can handle that, if you'll do that. I watched one of our men in our church, and boy, to be honest, just weak. And trials had come, and they'd buckle and fail. And God in his kindness gave them a bunch more. And They came to me and they wanted to do right. They wanted to be strong. And I was there. I knew it. I was very weak and not strong. And the things came on me. And he said, how do I stop this? How do I stop this? I said, I don't know that you're going to stop it. I said, you have to conquer it. But people don't want to conquer. They want to get out. The bombs are dropping. How do I get out of here? No, you become like Patton, who Patton was a nut. General Patton, World War II. He heard that you will never hear the bomb that kills you. But he found out. You'll never hear the bomb that kills you. So Patton decided that he would never flinch because he knew if he heard the bomb, it wasn't going to kill him anyway, so he wouldn't flinch. And so his favorite thing to do is he walked into a battlefield with other generals and he would not flinch while they're hitting the deck. And it'd be good if we could just learn, bombs are coming in. God, I'll not be tempted above, I can handle it. I'll just endure. I'll just handle it. I'll just not be afraid. This person went through and the trial came and the trials came and the trials came and they struggled and failed, but then squeezed by. And I said, great job, you made it. And they said, oh man, I barely made it. I was pathetic. I didn't do very good. I'm so tired. I said, you made it. That's progress. And that's how you build those muscles. You know, just recently, they went through the hardest, most pushing time, and they came through with flying colors. Why? Because the wilderness is building them. God was pushing them in the wilderness because they didn't have the strength to do great things until they went through the wilderness to build them to great things. The reason in the end is because it takes you and transforms you. If the Lord allows the wilderness and you endure, you see the reason in the end. Let me show you people who are just discouraged, ready to quit in the wilderness. Psalm 73. I alluded to it a little this morning. Psalm 73. They got the wilderness. They endured the wilderness. They didn't run back out into society. And I'm talking figuratively. They didn't run out of the trials. They didn't say, I just can't handle this and quit going to church or go and backslide or go back to their sin or go medicate themselves out of it again. They said, I just got to make it through this thing. And they were discouraged. But in the end, after they handled it, they were up there. They're like Jesus with great power, with great victory, with great knowledge. Psalm 73 in verse 2. It says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He just kept on seeing people who were wicked doing well. And it nodded him. Verse 18, verse 13. It says, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. One of the things you'll see is like him is, you know what? I'm serving God and I am going through all kinds of temptations and trials. And you start looking at somebody else and say, they don't go through trials. Look at Pastor, his life's easy. And you say that and think that, and yes, I don't have any problems. And so you think you think, oh man, this isn't fair, and why me? And you'll get the why me syndrome. Because you're the person who here's the problem. You ready? God knows and the devil knows what bothers you the most. And he doesn't go up to the guy who loves to sprint and say, sprint. He goes to the guy who hates to do sit-ups and says, do sit-ups. And I'm not going to make you sprint. And the thing that you fear the most comes upon you, is the Bible phrase. And the thing you wish would get settled doesn't get settled. Why? Because that's what the wilderness is. Why do you think the devil came and said, have some food? Want some bread? You haven't eaten for 40 days. It's a thing that you don't want. If you're a person who likes everything settled and ordered, God will say, and you say, ah, it drives me crazy. God says, I know, you're in the wilderness. And if you like everything just relaxed and flowing and just whatever happens, happens, God says, rigid schedule for you. And in the wilderness, you go and say, why? Why is that my supervisor? Why them? Why did I move an apartment next to them? Why does my wife do that in the morning? Why do my kids do this? Why do this pastor preach on that? Because you need it. And he says, I find out you don't like it. I'm preaching again on it next week. And God says, I'm pushing your button. You need to be strengthened. And this guy's saying, it drove me crazy. Here I am. I'm the lead singer for the entire nation. I praise God, Asaph. I am the voice of Israel who praise God. I've lived right. I've cleansed my heart. And I am struggling with all kinds of things. And I look at this wicked guy. He didn't praise God. He's wicked and he's just living it up. Got a yacht and a new PlayStation and got a new car and drives a Ferrari. I hate him. I've cleansed my hands and foolishness and wasted my time. He almost backslid. He was in the wilderness, and there he was. Verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. For if I say, well, speak thus, behold, they should offend against them. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me till I got out of the wilderness and the angels ministered to me. See, you're going to get a break when God says you endured it. Here's the thing. I was almost gone. I almost fell. I couldn't take it. I was so discouraged. I didn't see the answer. But he didn't quit. He endured. He made it through. Not knowing the way, not knowing the answer. And he just took another step. I've got to take another step. I said, oh, I'm so discouraged, so tired. I'll take another step. And God said, all right, you made it. Jesus didn't know when the temptations were ending. And all of a sudden, boom. It breaks. And all of a sudden, he said, went in the sanctuary of God one day and said, I get it. You know what's going to happen to these people when they die? And watch him get encouraged. And watch all of a sudden, this man who is very prone to discouragement and coveting others and all these weaknesses, it's gone. He now is a conquering victory man. He won't struggle with this ever again because the wilderness made him great. But he would have always been kind of a weak, anemic person in his life if he wouldn't have been shoved into that hardship. In verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, how they're brought to destruction in a moment. They're consumed. Now watch him start to rejoice and see how good he's got it. He didn't see it before. Verse 22, so foolish was I, what was I thinking? And ignorant, and was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me up to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But it's good to draw near unto God and put my trust in the Lord. Look, he got it, and he's conquered and became stronger and got what God had for him. That God is his portion. Not all the things those wicked people were getting. And that will sustain you the rest of your life, Asaph. You just learned a good lesson in the wilderness. You just became great in the wilderness. God's enough. And you can handle it. He got that. Next, when God leads you in the wilderness, we said there are trials and temptations. The Lord ministers to us there. The wilderness does something great in us. And you come out. You come out of the wilderness with God. Let's go to Psalm 66. You come out of the wilderness. You come out stronger. You walk out of the wilderness and people say, whoa, what happened to you? You've been taking steroids? Say, yes, sir. And you walk out stronger, bigger, buff, spiritually. And people look at you and say, man, you're so strong. You don't struggle like other people do. You say, if you knew where I was 30 days ago. But the wilderness made it so I'm stronger now. And you come out of it. Psalm 66, verse 10. For thou, O Lord, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. That's in the fire. Thou broughtest us out of the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou causest men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out unto a wealthy place. Job 23, right before Psalms, Job 23. Before Psalms. See, God leads you in the wilderness to bring you out. He didn't want you there your whole life. He wants you to go there, be strengthened, get power, get conquering ability, to learn some great lessons, to be made and get patience and character and hope in the wilderness, and then come out strong, ready to do great things. Job 23, Job understood this surprisingly enough. Verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. I can't see God. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen? Amen. He says, God's going to bring me out of the wilderness. I'm not stuck in the wilderness forever. Now, when you're in the wilderness, you think you're going to be there forever. You'll think you'll be there forever. But if you are found to continue faithful when you don't understand how and just tough it out and endure the hardness and keep on fighting, God puts you in there for a good reason. For your good. For his kingdom. For you to become great. And you come forth out of it because God brings you out of it. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8. But when the devil does it, it's just completely different. Why does God bring us in the wilderness? Anybody? Say it a little louder. To train us? Make us strong? Anybody? Anybody else? Make you pray? Anybody else? Test you? For our good. For good reasons. See, when the devil takes you in the wilderness, you might not be able to see the difference. The only difference is very simple. There's just a couple things. The wilderness takes you, he takes you into his wilderness to isolate you and destroy you. That's the only reason. In Luke chapter 8, this man's possessed for many years, we read. Remember we kept reading that? For many years, for a long time. And stayed there for a very long period of the time. And then at the end of verse 29, it says, and he brake his bands and was driven in the devil in the wilderness. He had devils a long time, and they simply drove him out there. See, when you're obedient to God, God leads you in the wilderness. When you're obedient to Satan, he takes you in the wilderness and he drives you out there. And there's trials and there's troubles and pain and suffering and temptation, but you don't have God to minister to you at the end. It doesn't do you one bit of good. You just suffer for no reason. God does not minister to you. He doesn't teach you character lessons. And I tell you, when I watch people go off and sin and backslide, the only thing they learn at the end was that was stupid. Shouldn't do that again. They didn't learn character lessons. Those who are in the will of God suffering, they learn great, incredible things. And you don't learn when the devil drives you into the wilderness. You don't learn anything. It is unproductive. It's simply because he hates you. He hates God. He wants you to suffer. You'll get no ministry. And at the end, you will not build your character. You will not learn great lessons. Nothing else will happen. The devil only is going to isolate you. This person was always driven away from people. Why? Because people can help you. God uses people. God uses people to help you. See, when you get alone, there's nobody to pray for you. When you get in the wilderness of getting outside the will of God, see, God did not lead him into that wilderness. God will not let you be tempted above your able, and he'll work all things together for good. But when you follow Satan and let him push you in the wilderness, and the most common thing we see is, you know what, I'm really struggling right now. I need to get out of church for a while. I just need to go be alone and get some things together in my life. That's the wilderness the devil's driving you into, and they never come out. They never come back in 2 or 3 weeks. They always come back wounded, beaten, and bloody. A lot of times we got to run in the wilderness and drag them out because you're being driven by the devil. And there's no grace there. There's no growth there. And both of them are temptations. Both of them are Satan there. But one of them, you'll never be tempted above what you can handle. The other one, you will be tempted and destroyed and isolated. Luckily, Jesus came along and this man was set free and delivered. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be led of the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, but if as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as Jesus was into the wilderness, they are the sons of God. Do not think that the will of God, that you are not the will of God because you're suffering, because you're tempted, because you're struggling. Jesus had all those things sent by God. You do not know when it's going to end. So what you do is you be found doing the right thing, and all of a sudden it'll break one day, and you'll be like, I feel better. Oh, man. You don't know when that is. You just be doing the right thing, because if you're doing the right thing there, the lessons and the character things you're supposed to do that will be happening to you. You resist and do right until you're brought out. You resist and do right until you're brought out. And you find that God drives you into the wilderness, but it's much different than the devil. Understand, when you're in the wilderness and you say, God must hate me because I'm struggling, I'm tempted, and I'm weak, why do I have to suffer this? Why am I alone? Why am I getting this temptation for food and I'm weak? Why? Why do I have to keep struggling with finances or whatever? The devil's going to say, yeah, see, God's mad at you and God's not blessing you anyway, so you might as well go back to the world, and you're going to hear a bunch of Satan's voice. And you do nothing but just stay on track. Nope, going to go to church Sunday, get reading the Bible, going to pray. I don't know if God is even going to hear me because I don't understand anything that's happening. I'm going to say it right. I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to keep enduring because God has me in the wilderness to make me great. To make me great. How about you? Did you let yourself be driven of Satan out in the wilderness? That's different. You chose to leave God's will. You chose to go off in sin. You're driven of Satan. But when you're in the will of God, and this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, go in the wilderness immediately. And you're not doing, I know you weren't perfect. I know that. But there's a thing where God's leading your life. God's working your life out. And you just learn how to endure it and realize that God's a good God. He's doing this for me. He's going to make me to the next level. He's going to make me great. Then you can come forth as gold. Then you can come forth and do mighty things. Then you come forth in the power of the Spirit. But so many people buckle in the wilderness, they never become great, and they just become broken. But those who handle the wilderness that God designed for them, in His goodness and because He loves you, He makes you into something great. You graduate into greatness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to just show the difference between the devil driving us and the Spirit driving us. And I don't know your purpose in this lesson, Lord. I just feel like this is what you want us to teach. And I pray today that we would realize you're a good God and a loving Father. And though you might push us and drive us in the wilderness, it's okay. And that we'd be strong enough to resist temptation and keep fighting in the wilderness. And if we fall, a just man falls 7 times and rises up again, and we just keep getting up and do the right thing until we get the lesson. Now, Jesus had 40 days, Lord. We might have to have a couple years because we might learn slower or fall or whatever, but Lord, help us. Help us to handle the wilderness if you let us there. Help us to trust you enough to realize it's for a good reason. And if we've let the devil drive us into the wilderness in foolishness, help us to run out real quick and find Jesus outside the wilderness, which this man did. Thank you that immediately he was healed and in his right mind. And I pray tonight that all of us would be driven by you according to your plan and become great through it. And as a church, if we have to go through that, fine, Lord, just give us the grace to handle it. And as individuals, help us to do it. Help us, every one of us tonight, to be able to be sensitive enough to your Spirit and strong enough to respond as your Spirit speaks. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed.